This week's mailbag comes to us from Candida via email. When I first heard about the Sunday basket, I thought it was a great idea. I've always loved organizing my papers. I thought it was such a simple concept that I could do it on my own. So I went out and I bought some slash pockets and a cheap file box from my local big box store. I sorted all of my papers and put them in the file box, and I never used it again. Once I invested in a real Sunday basket and all of the training and community that it comes with, I realized what I had been missing. Now my Sunday basket sits on my kitchen counter looking pretty and being put to good use every single day. I want to tell everyone I know about the Sunday basket and teach them how it can work for them too. Thank you, Candida. Do you have an organized 365 success story? We would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at lisa@organized365.com and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organized 365.
Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. In the last couple of episodes, we've learned that there is a hierarchy of needs. Like, we basically have to build our pyramid one layer at a time. We cannot jump layers. And last week, we talked a lot about how we learn in general, how the general population learns, and then I'm sure you picked up some things that are a little different about how you learn, how your family members learn, and the people at your office learn as well. In the next two episodes, I want to deep dive into some specific situations you all have shared with me through email or social media. This week, we're going to be talking about how do you fit organizing or behavior change into your schedule. And we're going to talk through three specific harried schedules of some of you and how we can fit in this behavior change in organization. And then next week, I'm going to talk about how ADHD impacts getting organized and some questions that you've sent in about that as well. This podcast today about how we fit in behavior change really is, you know, it's the gold medal. So many of us spend so much of our organization time, or so many of the organization posts and videos and podcasts that you listen to talk about how to best fold your clothes to go into the dresser, or how to wash your clothes, or how to match socks and keep socks from getting lost. And well, that's fine, but changing how you fold your clothes or not losing socks in the future is not really going to move the needle that much. It's not going to make a dramatic life change for you. The thing that is going to make a dramatic life change over time is changing your behavioral habits. 85% of what we do every day is just based on our habits. Like, schedule or no schedule, you will go through your day today like you did yesterday, like you did the day before, like you did the year before, the decade before. Like, unless you purposefully plan to change how you're going to do life tomorrow, it won't change. And when you do purposely make that plan to change the way you're going to do your habits, they're extremely hard to change. Very, very hard to change. You know, how you get up, how you drive to work, how the clothes you wear, the foods you eat. It's just very hard to change you. Like, you are a compilation of your habits. But big change over time comes from changing little habits on a regular basis. So today, I am going to reference a whole bunch of previous podcasts that I have recorded as I am answering these questions. So if this intrigues you, you may want to scroll back through your podcast app, or if you're on the website, just type in these numbers and you will get to these podcasts as well. So most of the answers to how we are going to fit organizing into your day is going to start with the fact that I write out a weekly schedule on Sunday. I know, it seems so antiquated and 1980s, but what can I tell you? I'm a 1980s girl. I love to physically, remember last week we talked about you're 70% more likely to remember what you write down. So you can do this on a Google calendar, and I transfer mine to a Google calendar, but typing something into a calendar is not the same as writing it down on a piece of paper. And so I'm going to send you to thesundaybasket.com. And on thesundaybasket.com, you can download the weekly schedule that I use every single week and is part of the Sunday Basket. So it has a checklist on one side of things that I check off and need to do every week. And on the other side is like an old-fashioned planner page. It's just a one page, 8.5 by 11. You could print it out in color. You can print it out black and white. It's not going to cost you any money. It's totally free. Print it out. If you are struggling fitting into your week what you want to fit into your week, try this for a month and see what happens. Two things are going to happen when you actually print out a weekly schedule and fill it in on Sunday night. Number one, you are going to realize that you physically cannot fit everything you want to do on that calendar. And that's okay. Then you just have to decide what is going to make it on there and what is not going to make it on there. So the physicalness of writing it in a planner calendar, like a date book, versus making a to-do list, shows you that it doesn't all fit. And so often, we just think if we rewrite the to-do list in fun colors that it's going to get done because you rewrote it and so now it's prioritized. No, didn't give you any more time. So physically writing out your schedule every week is number one. And number two, in almost every single question that was asked to me, you don't have a predictable schedule. So you don't have the same schedule week after week. So this activity of writing out your weekly schedule is more important instead of less important when your schedule is different week after week. So you can get that printable by going to thesundaybasket.com. Also, if you want to hear more specifically about that printable and how to fill it out, you want to go to episode 197 called You Need a Schedule. I am telling you the reason why when Super Nanny goes into a house and assesses the situation and in minute 10 is always putting a big piece of butcher paper up on the wall going, here's our family schedule, is because when kids see a schedule, their behavior improves because they know what to anticipate. Just because I'm 47 doesn't mean I don't need a schedule anymore. We love it. We thrive on knowing what's coming next. Now, here's the thing. If you're a rebel, if you're someone who makes a to-do list and then does everything on the list that's not on the to-do list, like you're not an obliger at all, that's okay. Don't follow the schedule. Just make one. Even the act of making one will help you have a more organized life. So make a schedule. It's not like you're married to it and it has to go off without a hitch. As a matter of fact, it never will go off without a hitch, but just make the schedule. Consciously make the decision that if I were to have my perfect week, here is how that is going to play out. Okay, question number one comes from Christiane, and she says, please do a podcast on organizing when you have a very irregular schedule, i.e. shift work, call schedule, those who care for an ill person whose needs are unpredictable, etc., etc. All right, I hear you. Even if you plan your schedule on Sunday night and you have an ill family member or you work shift work or on call, you know that that schedule can go out the window. But just because the schedule can go out the window doesn't mean you shouldn't plan for the schedule. So go ahead on Sunday and fill out on your schedule. Number one, on your schedule, I want you to block off time for getting ready in the morning and preparing for bed at night. So your morning and evening routines. Now, if you've not been listening to the podcast very long and you hear morning routine and you're having post-traumatic stress disorder, as I do when I hear it lately, I am not talking about these 3-hour elaborate morning routines where you meditate and exercise and drink 90 ounces of water and then run a marathon before you do anything. No, I have a podcast, 192, which is called Morning Routines for the Modern Day Woman, in which you just get ready. It's just getting ready. But you need to have time to get ready. Like, you know that if you have to wash your hair, it's going to take 15 minutes longer because you have to blow dry it, right? Like, you know how long it takes you to get ready. Also, when we're talking about your morning and your afternoon routine, if at all possible, can you eat the same thing every morning? Like, I eat a Zone Perfect bar I have for the last 7 years, plus a coffee. That's what I have every single morning. It takes 1 minute to make that. I usually do Instagram while I'm doing it, so I'm task stacking while I'm going. It doesn't take any time to do my breakfast. If I were called away for shift work or someone who is sick, I could still take 1 minute to make my coffee. You better bet I'm going to need my coffee, and grab that protein bar and eat it in the car. So if you're super, super busy, like all three of these women we're going to talk about are, where can you habitualize and create a habit that is simple? And if you're someone who loves variety and you want a different breakfast every single morning, could you come down to two or three? Like if I'm going to be home, I have this breakfast, but if push come to shove, this is one I can grab and get out the door in a minute. So I want you to time block on your schedule at least 30 minutes. I mean, I can't get ready. It takes me 45 minutes to get ready now. I don't know. I'm getting older. It takes forever. I used to be able to get ready in 20 minutes, but there's no way you can get ready in 0 minutes. Do you know what I'm saying? So is it 20? Is it 30? Is it 45? Is it an hour? How long does it take you from getting out of bed to being able to get in the car and go somewhere? If it's just you, put that on your calendar. Then also, I want you to put your evening routine on your calendar. It can be as short as 15 minutes. You brush your teeth, you brush your hair, you wash your face, you put on your pajamas, whatever. I always take a bath, so mine's at least 30 minutes. Even if I get in at midnight, I will take a bath and go to bed at 12:30 because I just want my evening bath. So I put at least 30 minutes down for my evening, and I put about 45 minutes down for my morning. That's first on your calendar. You need your morning and your afternoon routine, or your evening routine. If you want to deep dive into this a little bit more, I'm going to send you over to podcast episode 193 is about afternoon and evening routines. We're not going to talk about afternoon routines in this podcast, but if you want to know a real game changer and you are pretty good at morning and evening routines, add in an after work or afternoon routine. It is definitely a game changer. Okay, so you have your morning and your afternoon routine blocked off on there. Those are your bookends. In the middle is everything you have time for. So number one, you're going to put work in there. If you're on call, put it down as if you're working. Let's pretend that if you do shift work or you're on call, that you're definitely going to get called in. That way, if you're not called in, it's a pleasant surprise as opposed to an irritation. So you know, if you are down on call, but you plan on doing something else and then you get called in and you're really excited about what you're going to do, you're ticked off. You're not happy about it, but you were on call, so you should have known you might have been called in. So if you're on call, if you have shift work, put it all on your calendar as if you are actually doing the work. Then when you don't get called in, you're going to have a bucket of things you're going to pull from to use that time for, as opposed to things that you have to use that time for. Now, if you're caring for someone who is ill or whose needs are unpredictable, average out how much time you've spent with that person over the last however many weeks it's been. Let's say it's been a month. And on average, you have no idea when it's going to be, but on average, you usually have to go see them about 90 minutes every day, or it happens to be 2 days out of the week you need to go spend 4 hours. There's some kind of a rhyme or reason to it. Figure out what that quantity of hours is. For the sake of this discussion, we're going to say it ends up being about 90 minutes a day. So we have 90 minutes a day where we need to take care of this ill person. So we have our call and our work on there, and we have our morning and afternoon stuff. That is your basic schedule. Those are the things that you cannot move. Now, I want you to proactively put your family member on every single day for 90 minutes. If at all possible, you know, we often say that we don't know when they need us or their needs are unpredictable. It's kind of like being on call. Let's say what works best in your schedule is for you to go over every day at lunchtime, so from 12 to 1:30, unless it's a work day. And then on those days, you're going to come after work, and it would be 6:30 to 8. Then I want you to put that on the calendar every single day. You can wait to see if you're actually called to do this, but I would be proactive about it. And I would just say, hey, Mom, I know that you hesitate to call me, and I really want to be there for you. So I've looked at my calendar and I've blocked out 90 minutes for you every day. I can come over at lunchtime on these 4 days, and I can come over after work on these 3. Just wanted to let you know. Go ahead and text me if there's anything you need me to bring. it may sound calculated and clinical, or I don't know, you know how you would word that for your family member or whoever it is, but take back some of the control. Be proactive. They may say, oh my gosh, that's too much. Only come every other day. Well, if this has been going on for a month and you come every single day, then like, you're going to end up going every single day. Just say, great, I'll be here those 4 days that you say, but still pop in for 30 minutes on those other days. Maybe you're working through whatever. So your calendar is set. You have your morning and your evening on there. You have your work. You have your family member. Now, there's definitely open time left. There might not be very much, but we also have those call days on there, which we aren't 100% sure that you're going to need. Now, I want you to make a very small list over there on the right of 3 to 5 things you'd like to get done this week. And if you want to start with 1 to 3, that's great as well. Just a couple of things you want to do. Like, let's say you're in the 100-day program, or you really wanted to work on a knitting project or whatever, or you need to clean out your closet this week or clean out the kids' closets, whatever. 1 to 5 things over there on the right. It's Tuesday morning. You're supposed to be on call. You haven't gotten called yet. You've woken up. You've done your morning routine. You're ready to go. You have not been called. Now, I want you to look over at the 1 to 5 things, and I want you to pick one of those and get started on it. Let's say it's cleaning out your closet. Be smart about it, though. You know you could still get called in. So just do, you know, like, I'm just going to do my shoes. Oh, I didn't get called in. Okay, I'm just going to do my shirts. Oh, I didn't get called in. And keep going as long as you can. This way, your projects will still get done, but you also have the work on your calendar. Let's say you were supposed to go see your mom Wednesday after work. Somebody else went and saw her for dinner or is meeting her for dinner and you don't have to go. You come home, you still have some energy. That time was blocked off for seeing your mom. Go over to your list over on the right, 1 to 5. Oh, that's right. I was going to change the kids' beds and put out holiday decorations. I'm going to do that for the next 30 minutes. So that is how you can organize if you have a very irregular schedule and unpredictable people. Second question comes from Alicia. She says, how do you handle organizing when you're middle-aged, survival stage, with young kids, preschool and elementary age, in the accumulation stage? Okay, so organizing, I did this time-wise, but you might also be thinking house-wise, so I'll answer that in a minute. All right, so time-wise, number one, do as much organizing with the kids as you can if you want to do it that way. Number two, if you're working during the week, do your organizing on Saturday or Sunday, because once you get home from work, kids get home from school, it's very hectic, not likely you're going to be able to do organizing in the evening, especially with young children like that. Or number three, and this is my favorite, hire a mother's helper. Let me just tell you how fabulous a 12 or 13 year old mother's helper are. They are like angels sent from heaven, is all I have to say. I was one. I've hired them. You should hire them. They're amazing. These are basically babysitters who are learning to be babysitting, and they're pretending to be mom, and they love it. And your children love them because they're super fun. So if you have the financial means and you can find one, I highly, highly, highly suggest hiring a mother's helper. They could come Friday, like after school until 8 p.m., and that gives you a large chunk of time. They can come every single day for 90 minutes, and they help with homework. They could come just on Tuesday, Thursdays, whatever. I highly recommend a mother's helper, and I have a podcast episode for that as well. Number 128 is how to hire help. If you want me to walk you through how do you find the person, how do you hire them, and what will they do? Now, Alicia, if you're talking about how do you organize your house when you're middle-aged with young kids, preschool, elementary age, in the accumulation stage, here's what I would say about that. You're going to be accumulating because your children are younger. You just might not accumulate as much as you would have if you also were in the accumulating stage. So when I talk about the accumulating stage, what I mean is, in your 20s and 30s, you basically have to acquire stuff. Like when you get your first house, you don't own a hammer or a shovel or a broom or anything. Every time you go to do anything, you're going to Home Depot or Lowe's or Walmart, and you're buying stuff constantly. And then you're buying furniture, and then you have one kid and two kids, and they have all this stuff that they need. So the kids are going to need to continue to accumulate. They're going to outgrow their clothes, outgrow their toys, outgrow their furniture. They're going to need different furniture. You, however, who are middle-aged, you've already furnished your house before you had kids. You already have a all of the things that you need to be a homeowner, because you had to buy those things as you were in your 20s and 30s. You just had your kids in your 40s. So you personally will not be buying physical items for the home very much. You may be upgrading items around the home. That's usually what I see in 40s and 50s, but you will still be accumulating for the kids. So just remember, when you're at Target, buy for the kids, don't necessarily buy for you. And our third question, I don't have who this came from, but she says, how do you organize your life and schedule when you work outside of the home, basically 9 to 5, with a commute on each end of that, plus work a second job and or go to school? How do you balance it and make it all work? I'm like, oh my gosh, they think I'm a magician over here. I am not a magician. This is a phase of life. Hopefully it's a phase of life and not your entire life where you're working two jobs and going to school. I am going to assume that you're going to school so that these two jobs can become a different job or a more high-paying job, or you're working for a promotion. It is very rare that you would be working two, a full-time job, a second job, and going to school for longer than, say, 4 years maybe, which still would be a long time. I would say it's somewhere between 2 and 6 years. It's not a short stage, but it definitely is a stage. And I have watched some of my friends and some of my cousins go through this, where they literally, I don't know how they did it. They literally got up, went to work, came home, went to bed, got up for years. I'm like, how do you do that? I'm just going to say, it's a very difficult stage of life to be in. But usually, in every case that I could think of my friends who were doing this, they were doing it to get a law degree, to get to become a doctor or an accounting. In all three of those fields, and also entrepreneurship, you will find that those four professions, people do literally work morning to night, and they do a lot of self-improvement and education along the way in order to move up the career ladder. Those are the ones that I have seen most often. And there's a payoff to that, isn't there? I mean, like, if you get a law degree, if you get an accounting, you know, you work at the big four accounting firms for a period of time, or you become a specialized doctor, you then end up at the other end of that, not with a ton of time, but definitely with more money. So it's a payoff. It's a payoff. You're trading time now for dollars later, usually. If that's not the case, then this is totally unsolicited and non-organizational advice. I would stop and think, why are you doing that? Like, what is each of those jobs providing? Maybe one's providing healthcare and the other one's providing self-fulfillment. And what is the need of the school? Because I have also seen people working two jobs and going to school when at the end of the schooling, there was going to be no higher paid job or no payoff. You see what I'm saying? And so at that point, I would say, are you doing it because you love going to school and you love working and this is how you would spend your time no matter what? And that's totally fair if it's not for a financial payoff at the end. But if that's the case, then know that that's what you're doing. You're basically making your schooling your passion project, and that's where all your time is going, and you can only have so many passion projects at one time. So this is a phase of life. No matter why you're in this working two jobs and going to school at the same time, basically there is no time. Like, there is no time. So here's what I would say. I have one podcast called episode 254 called Find More Time. I don't know if you're going to find any in there, but try. And then also episode 227 is called Adult Spring Break. I highly recommend you take an adult spring break. Maybe when school is on a break, you take vacation time from job one and job two. And give yourself some time at home. And then use that time to 100% devote to your home organization, fixing up the home, setting yourself up for success for the next semester of school, and jumping back into the job. So that's number one. If at all possible, take off a chunk of time and do a staycation and get caught up at home and set up some routines. Number two, if possible, hire help for whatever you need. Cleaning your house, taking care of your yard, walking your dog if you have one, like doing your laundry for you. Anything you can hire out, can afford to hire out, hire out. The third one, which is not popular, but it's reality, is that you're going to have to defer, delegate, or let go the majority of things on your to-do list. Like, if you're spending all of your time working in at school, you can't possibly also be, I don't know, leading a volunteer organization and redoing your master bedroom. Like, mathematically, it just doesn't add up. So you are deferring all household projects and organization until one of these jobs or school has a break or is over. I know, it's really not a popular answer, but it is basically the fact that you are in a season. So, okay, what if this is going to go on literally for the next 6 years and you can't take an adult spring break and you can't hire anybody and you can't defer and you can't delegate? Then I would say listening to this podcast is the best thing you can do because this is something you can do when you're driving between jobs, right? So listen to this podcast, listen to other podcasts. And when you listen to this podcast and you get home, take one action. So what is one action that you could do? Maybe you don't normally have a schedule like we talked about in the beginning. You're going to print that schedule off. And then those actions don't necessarily have to happen at home. They might happen at your lunchtime. Now, if you're working two jobs, you might be studying during your lunchtime. But maybe just one lunchtime per week is going to be devoted to improving your productivity or your habits. And so every Monday, instead of doing schoolwork, or every Friday, instead of doing schoolwork, you're going to use your lunchtime at one of your jobs, and you're going to make this weekly schedule and figure out how it's all going to fit next week, or you're going to do your meal planning or something like that. All right. I hope this podcast was helpful. I know I gave you a lot of other podcasts referred out to. That's what learning is like, right? Like when you go on Google, don't you search one thing and then you end up on the next website and the next website and the next website, and pretty soon you don't know how you got there, but it's the exact answer you wanted. So I gave you a lot of different links and different podcasts to go to if these are areas that you're struggling and you need to know, how do I hire help? How can I make a realistic morning routine? What if I wanted to take an adult spring break? How can I find more time? I would love to know the tips and tricks for that. Just head on over to the show notes and we will have links for all of those other podcast episodes there. All right, next week, I will be talking to you about organizing when you or someone in your family has ADHD.